Welcome to the Bad Boss Brief. Here are your hosts, Eugene S. Robinson and Stephanie Payrollo.
Welcome to the Bad Boss Brief. I am Stephanie Payrollo.
And I'm Eugene S. Robinson.
And today we are going to talk about setting boundaries at work.
Woo! Boundary steppers abound in my experience.
Yeah, so it's tough to set boundaries at work. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. What are some of the challenges, how to do it effectively, and then what to do if someone comes traipsing on over all of the boundaries that you have set. So just to be clear, a boundary is setting a clear understanding of what it is that is and is not acceptable to you, right? Mm-hmm. So a boundary is, no, I will not falsify data to lure investors. That would be a boundary. Another boundary might be,
that sounds vaguely familiar to me. I can't quite place it, but I guess we'll get into it later.
Yeah. I guess so. So certainly saying I'm not going to do something that's unethical. Some of it might be setting expectations around how and when you work. I will not be available to respond to work communications after 8 o'clock at night or on the weekends. It might be setting expectations for how people need to participate in a team. I'm going to need any edits to this presentation 24 hours before it's due. Right? All of those are boundaries. And one of the things that I frequently say is we teach people how to treat us. Right? So boundary setting is part of teaching people how to treat us and teaching people what our understandings are in terms of acceptable engagement.
I tell you, I find myself to be highly susceptible to being Tom Sawyered. And there's a certain element of machismo in that. And I actually had junior staffers gang up on me after 3 or 4 years in the job, which was, I can comfortably say, Aussie media. And they said, what lunatic convinced Carlos that we should do 14 articles a week? And I owned right up to it. I said, it was me. And they said, why would you do such a thing? And I said, well, I got caught into this kind of machismo spiral whereby he said, how many articles could you generate? I said, under the right set of circumstances, if I had my time as my own, I could probably do 2 a day, 1 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon. So he said, you mean 14 a week? I said, yeah, sure. Why not? Why not? I'm John Henry here. I did not expect that we would level set at 14. And that's what everybody complained about. And there was a workplace mutiny, actually, in fact, when they lowered it to 6 a week, which if you're a media type, you know, still 6 a week, if done correctly, multiple sources, interviews, quotes for attribution. That's a lot. That's a heavy lift. But that was a number we set. And I apologize to the staff for my high flown lunacy. But everybody had to set boundaries in order for him to realize, yeah, maybe Eugene was not the sanest of people to be asking how much to do. So,
but you bring up a good point, which is that boundaries are flexible. Right? Like you can set a boundary and an expectation and find over time that as you get more information, that boundary needs to be shifted either way, right? I mean, I think healthy people have emotional resilience and they can also be flexible in terms of their boundaries, right? And they can understand that. And I think it's also a challenge in leadership, listening to boundaries that other people set or things that they're asking for and being mindful that like you get more information. Things change. Things are different. And I think that, you know, one of the things I want to say out of the gate is setting boundaries at work can be risky. I have set boundaries at work about how I want to be treated, what I think is ethical, how I want people that work for me to be treated. And I've lost my job because of it. Right? So I do think that being able to set boundaries is sometimes a privilege, and you may not always be able to do that. I think also
we had to get that for those 14 articles a week. We had a 7-day work schedule because ostensibly the boundary that had been set was I don't want employees, I want owners, and owners would work on their business 7 days a week. And it was only when they hired an editorial director from Yahoo who said in very plain language, said it and meant it, which was first of all, I don't believe it's legal. Second of all, I will not be working 7 days a week, and I won't ask anybody who works for me to work 7 days a week. So at that point, the 7-day-a-week schedule was off the table, unless at that it was is Escalatio. Are you going to fire this person at that point? Their decision was made that he was not going to, so they had to back off the 7-day give. It did not stop the sniper attack of, I need to see you on Saturday, I need to see you on Sunday. But in general, most people at that point did not have to. And I always viewed it as exactly what it was, which was a fairly selfless act, because the option was fire me. And she was willing to do that, you know. And I always kind of had begrudging respect for that.
Well, and the challenge is we've both spent a lot of time in environments that are not known for appropriate work-life balance. Startups, tech culture, advertising agencies. And I do think that that is important when you're looking at setting a boundary, is to understand what is a reasonable expectation in the workplace, right? So I worked in business development, which meant at advertising land, I would run pitches to get us new clients, which would be 7 days a week, really long hours. More than once, I, you know, worked all night long, and then you were done. Right? You either won or you didn't win. And then you got some time off, or that was just the schedule. And if I had come into a new business position and said, hey, I leave at 5 o'clock every night and I don't work weekends, well, that would not have been, that's just not what the job is, right? Like, there's certain jobs you have to lift 40 pounds. There's certain jobs you have to work late. So I do think that understanding the context and the expectations, but then pushing back if they're insane, like 7 days a week, right? How long had Ozzy been going on before somebody pushed back on the 7 days a week thing?
2 years. Her name was Liz. I don't believe I started there in 2012. I don't believe I had a weekend until 2014.
Right. So that's part of that is the larger question is, what have you signed up for when you walk in the door? Realizing that a lot of times where I found the boundary stuff around, particularly around work-life balance, to be challenging is when there is a narrative of specialness, right? We're founding a wonderful company. We're the first to ever do this. In the case of Ozzy, we're all owners. Like, there's some narrative that justifies working you beyond human endurance. Right. And so I do think so. Let's talk a little bit about go ahead.
My again, along the line of the Tom Sawyer thing, which for those of you who don't remember, has to do with the fence where he snows all of his friends into. At one point, Carlos had said to me, listen, if ever you feel like you're getting burned out from the 14 articles a week, what I want you to do is come to me and tell me. I don't want to be surprised by problems. I want us to deal with it before it happens. And at one point, I actually hit that number 3 times, I would say. And I didn't have to. There are a couple of times I had to work 24-hour days and then also hit that number. And I would feel physically ill from the effort of it. Now, you know, I'm not lifting boxes. I'm not a stevedore. And I remember at one point, I thought, oh, let me give this a try. This is after the 7-day-a-week schedule. It's after 2 years. This is after all kinds of substandard weirdness and treatment. I come and say, hey, man, I remember the thing you told me about getting burned out? Well, I think I'm there. And he was like, great. Hey, could you bring me that? I might as well have said, I've eaten eggs today. I mean, it was a complete... there was no dealing at all with this issue, and it just get back to work, which reminds me of a guy who I knew had problems with crystal meth, and his boss sat him down and said, if the problem is money, I can give you more money. Did not care. Getting 27-hour work days. Didn't care.
Right.
That's a boundary.
So if you want to set a boundary, the first thing you need to do is to clearly articulate what it is. Right. So if we're talking work-life balance, it might be, I am no longer available to respond to Slacks, emails, or texts after 8 p.m. or on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's clear. You're not leaving any loopholes, right? Like, well, if you no Slack, but text is okay, or, you know, like whatever. And then you don't need to over-explain reasonable boundaries. Right. So again, assuming that this is reasonable in the place where you work, you don't need to over-explain it. Too often, particularly women will do this. They come in and they have all sorts of reasons why they're not available after 8 p.m. or on weekends. right? Which are very reasonable expectations in most jobs. And they'll say things like, well, you know, it's really, you know, my kids and I need to, you know, I'm not feeling well. And they feel like they have to have a narrative. If you're setting a reasonable boundary and you have an understanding that it's, you know, like relatively culturally appropriate, say the thing and stop talking.
Yeah.
You don't need to justify your desire to have a life, right? And and I think in a lot of these cases, there's the people that are doing this kind of crazy work, they're not owners. They're not making huge amounts of money. They're not going to have equity, right? So right. There isn't even that. It's like, you prove your loyalty, show how you, yeah, you don't need to participate in any of that stuff,
no.
Right?
No.
And then the next thing is, you are not responsible for anyone's emotional reaction to the boundaries that you set. Right? People.
Explain that to me.
Okay. So in running new business, I had to set really clear project management timelines. And I had to say to a particular executive creative director, you need to get me your creative ideas at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon, because that was the last minute for me to get it into the materials and then off to the client. And the deadline for the client was not negotiable. You're 5 minutes late, you're out of contention. You can kiss your chance at these $1 million goodbye. So 4 o'clock on Friday, 3 o'clock on Friday, I haven't seen anything from him. And so I call him and I say, you've got 60 minutes to get me some creative ideas. And he's known this, it is enough time, right? He has not managed his time effectively. He loses his mind. He is screaming at me. He is absolutely sideways. It's my fault. I don't respect the creative process. Loses his mind, right? To which I respond, I'm not engaging, right? I let him yell, like, go have at it. I say, okay. All right, well, then I guess we won't be able to submit any creative ideas, which means we won't move forward with, for this piece of business.
That's pretty simple. Coherently explained.
The consequences of your choices not to observe this deadline are that we will not have creative ideas, which means we won't get this business and we'll be out of the pitch.
You said this or you wrote this?
I said this to him.
Okay. All right.
Because it's usually a good idea if someone, I mean, often I find that if someone is screaming at me, I don't mind conflict. Like it doesn't, I've had so many men scream at me, so many people scream at me. I'm like, yeah. Okay. So I just stay very calm. Okay. Well, it doesn't sound like you're going to have it done by four. The consequence of that is that, you know, this, that, and the next thing. I don't try to make him feel better. I don't excuse it. I also don't try to fix it. Right? Believe it or not, even though I was a new business person, there were plenty of times that I came up with creative ideas, right? Plenty of times I wrote things. I'm not trying to save anything. So the idea is, if someone is going to react to your boundary, and they may not react well, right? Like, I remember, speaking of Carlos, having a pretty heated discussion with him about the fact that he thought I should be available for a Sunday morning call on Easter Sunday. Well, I'm a Christian. I go to church on Easter Sunday. It is a fairly significant religious holiday for me, and I was not planning on taking a conference call. And we had to have words about that, right? He did not think that that was a reasonable boundary for me to set. And you know what? I did not care. And so I think—
So punchline was, what happened?
I didn't participate in a call on— Beautiful. You know, on that Sunday, and you know,
let's step back a bit with the creative guy. What happened with that?
He threw together some creative ideas. He was a very, very talented creative director, and they were pretty good.
Oh, right? Good.
And he got it to me.
I call that motivation.
Yes, complaining bitterly, but again, and I think, particularly if you're in a workplace where you are afraid of losing your job, if you are a person who's conflict averse or conflict avoidant, or you're socialized as a woman to take care of other people's feelings, it's really hard to just let someone have whatever their response is to your particular boundary, right? So that's more of the kind of direct attack, right? Here's a boundary. I'm going to have a tantrum about it. There's a less direct attack where they just traipse past the boundary. right? And so one of the things that you need to do is if you say to your boss, I'm not responding to work communications after 8 p.m., don't respond to work communications after 8 p.m.
Right.
And that's challenging because the boss is going to say, I know we talked about me not, you know, texting you late at night, but oh my gosh, insert crisis here. Right. So there'll be an excuse. This is an exception. Like I heard you, but right. And that's where you have to stick to your guns. Right. Because if you say, okay, fine, I'll take this text at 10 o'clock at night because it's a crisis or an investor is upset or something, then it's next time it's going to be a minor crisis, that it's going to be, he just had something on his mind. Right. And so you have the responsibility of kind of sticking to your guns, which is difficult when people kind of traipse past your boundary. Have you had that happen? Do you have experiences where you've set a boundary and people have just, I mean, aside from what you just said with Carlos, set boundaries and people have traipsed over them?
I haven't had that problem professionally. Personally, I've had it, but you know, part of it is affect, I think, because you will laugh at this, but in general, my affect is pretty congenial. And I know this because the boundaries that I have set that have been stomped over, the people are surprised that I react as badly as I do at the point where I'll give you a prime example. And this is sort of a professional setting. My side hustles or side, as you well know, I've been running a business since 1980, music licensing record. And, I refuse to deal with a guy. I'm sure he's comfortable with his name being mentioned, Mike Lavella. And Mike Lavella gets me on the phone and pleads. He goes, I need this and this and this. I go, Mike, there's a reason we're not working together. And it's because you never pay. And he goes, I promise I have a distributor in Australia. I can, 30 days from now, I'm going to call you, Mike. And I shouldn't even have to call you because don't worry, I will pay. So I'm now like a hawk and I'm waiting, you know, I'm counting down like Cape Canaveral. And I get to the 30th day and I say, hey, Mike, I call. I'm going to be in San Francisco today. And he's like, oh, great. Dude, what are you doing? So Mike, today is the day. He goes, for what? And now I've got hornets in my head. And I said, I'm going to see you in half an hour and I want the money that you owe me. And it really went badly south from there. And the upshot was he did pay, but he said, I can't do business with somebody like you at this point. He was very upset with my angle of attack. And I said, unless I'm getting paid, it's not business. It's just robbery. So it wasn't, again, I think these are effective if you, like Horton the Elephant and Dr. Seuss, said what you meant and meant what you said. An elephant's faithful 100%. I can reliably be counted on to 100% do exactly what I say I'm going to do. So if I say, you know, I need, there was only one time in relation to Ozzy where I was at loggerheads with Carlos naturally over something where he said, if you do not do this, Monday you will not have a job. And it was to show up in a meeting Sunday morning at 8 at his house, which that weekend I had on the calendar for a long time. It was weekend I was, and I blinked and I didn't take the weekend off like I had been planned to do for months and months. Show up at his house at 8 o'clock. He's late to the meeting. He asked me, starts the meeting and says, hey, are you tired? It was a dark night of the soul. And I said, that said as much. He says, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go home, get some rest, and we'll have the meeting tomorrow. And that's when I knew that as long as there was air left in my body, I would do what was necessary to right this wrong, because that was terrible. And that was a terrible thing to do to another human being. Boundaries are what do they call them? DMZs, demilitarized zones. And he weaponized it. And I did not appreciate that. So I think generally you want to stay away as far as possible away from boundaries, right? Have them, But let in the normal flow of your workday, you should not be butting up against them constantly and continually. If you do, Glassdoor is a great place for that. I for amusement, we'll go to companies I'm thinking about where I've worked at, and we'll set the filter so it goes to lowest rating and read the cons about working in these places. And this stuff comes up again and again. People who play brinkmanship with boundaries, it's not a good place. Let that be your warning.
And I do think that if you are having trouble with people traipse over your boundaries, you know, especially in the ways that you're talking about, it really would be good to look for another job. Because, you know, like there was one time where the boundary that I set, which seemed pretty reasonable, I was in executive leadership, the owner of the company, had very specific requirements for the physical appearance of a receptionist. And I was like, were you in a sexual relationship with the last receptionist? And he kind of looked abashed. And I was like, you can't have sex with people that work with you, like work for you. You're the owner of the company. And that was A, something that needed to be said, and B, something that kind of like took him by surprise. Right. And I was like, at the time thinking, this is not something I should have to be this. And we're not talking decades ago. Right. This was like, and I was this is not something that I should have to say out loud. Right. And I mean, in this one woman show that I did about the various episodes of sexual harassment that I've seen, like I had a piece about things I have actually had to say to bosses, right? Like a blow up sex toy is not an appropriate party decoration.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and if you have to say these things where you're like, what is happening? If you have to argue with your boss about whether or not you're going to skip Easter Sunday mass as a Christian so that you can maybe have a conference call with him, then you probably need to rethink what it is that you're doing in your job. But I guess one of the things, you know, the line between reasonable and unreasonable boundary setting is sometimes in the eye of the beholder. Right. So I'm making certain assumptions and saying, you know, what is a reasonable boundary? Well, in advertising and technology, I don't want you to text me at 10 o'clock at night might be a reasonable boundary. But for most people, it's like, no, you don't get to text me at 6:30. Right. Like I leave the office and I'm done. But have you been in circumstances or seen things where someone at work sets a boundary that seems ludicrous to you?
No, because I adhere to this kind of thing of like, you don't know what people are going through. You don't know. There could be any number of different things. I have had an assumption of boundary that was violated in a super aggressive way. I remember Barbara was a woman's name who I worked with, who was a very talented associate editor. And she called in one day, as was her right, I'm sick. The COO heard that Barbara was sick, went to her apartment, leaned on her landlady. I'm worried about Barbara. Could you let me into her apartment? Essentially said, I need to perform a wellness check. Guy shows up in a suit. White guy shows up in a suit. I don't think if I showed up in a suit, I would have been given the same latitude. Go into her apartment, and Barb is laying in bed with tissues under her nose. She's like, Fred, what are you doing here? And he goes, oh, I just wanted to see if you were sick. And that is the point at which Barb should have owned the company, because there should have been a massive lawsuit. Instead, she just switched jobs, which was great for her, bad for me. She was super talented. There was no explaining to Fred that that was an incorrect thing to do. He wouldn't listen to it. Was not impressed at all with the rightness or the wrongness of what he had done. And that's kind of around the time when I start looking for another job, because I go, you can't fix that. You can't.
Right.
He wasn't going to listen to me. Nobody could explain to him why this was weird and creepy and inappropriate to be standing, you know, in your 28-year-old associate editor's apartment after she calls in sick. So I chose to leave. And that's ultimately your only weapon against boundary steppers.
Right.
You know, maybe he thought the fact that you would not come to work sick was an unreasonable boundary, or maybe it made no sense to him. You know, it wasn't for him to make sense of or not make sense of. I remember, and this is a modern issue that had come up with a guy had religious reasons, said that he had religious reasons for not wanting to work in close contact with women. Right? Like, I mean, this was a job in which, like chiropractics, the physical stuff. Mm-hmm. So I can't, based on my religion, I can't physically. It's like, no, you need to learn this stuff. You know, CPR, you need to learn, and you're going to have to touch human bodies to do it. Because fine, can those human bodies be male bodies? And it wasn't my decision to make. I mean, I've had lots of jobs and lots of weird kind of avenues in my life, having been a professional lifeguard for a period of time and so on. But they made the accommodation because the guy claimed religious issues, that he could not physically touch a female at all in any way, shape, or form. I go, what if in the course of this job you have a patient that said, well, we have plenty of women here who could deal with the, but they let him have it. They let him have it, which I was shocked. I was shocked and actually disturbed by, but whatever.
And I guess I feel like if there are, I mean, I have pretty wide latitude for people who are needing accommodation because of, you know, religious reasons, physical limitations, mental health issues, learning disabilities. I mean, I think there's a pretty wide latitude with that. I guess what gets frustrating to me is when people, like one of the things that comes up a lot is more and more people are talking about a 4-day work week. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, wanting a 4-day work week, that can be totally reasonable. But the idea of like a 4-day work week needs to be structured in such a way that the people with whom your company does business, who are presumably working on a 5 to 7 day schedule, are that the business can still happen. Right. And so it's sometimes I feel like the narrative of we are a business, we have certain things we have to do, or if we're a nonprofit, certain people we have to serve. That I think can sometimes get lost, and people can focus so much on kind of what they're looking for. But I do think there are a lot of circumstances where people are working in a relatively functional environment, as functional as a corporation can be in corporate America. And a lot of times they won't set boundaries, not because they have a fear of getting fired, but because they have internalized an understanding that, you know, you don't ask for what you want, you don't put your needs ahead of others, you need to be serving, you need to be whatever. And I do think it's useful if this is an area of difficulty for you and you work in a place that's relatively functional to look at maybe some of your narratives, right? Like, are you prone to, you know, let's be honest, maybe be a little bit of a martyr, right? And to feel like, oh, I need to help everybody. I'm so important. I need to be, you know, I have to do all this work. Are you just don't want to ask for what it is that you need? Because I do think that sometimes in some workplaces, we as individuals do have a responsibility to say, yeah, no, I'm done. Don't want to do this. This is how I'm expecting to behave. Because there have been many, many times where I have set a boundary, and after maybe an initial moment of something, there's an understanding of like, oh, okay, I get it. Like that executive creative director who was screaming at me about, you know, something happening on deadline. Once I explained to him, you know, this is a whole process. Here's how your work fits into the process. He got it. And we never had that conversation again. And he got me his stuff done on time. So some of the discomfort of asking, of sticking to your guns, of, you know, dealing with other people's discomfort, it really can dramatically shift working relationships as well as your comfort when you go to work. If you can set an appropriate boundary, work through the discomfort, and then people start to treat you in a way that is helpful and appropriate.
Right, right. And that is the ultimate pleasant outcome. I like that.
Exactly. Like that. All right. That's all we've got time for today. If you have any questions or show ideas for us, you can reach us at WTF@badbossbrief.com. We also have a segment called Sub Rosa, which is a short advice segment, and you can send us emails to WTF@badbossbrief.com for those as well. Talk soon. Thanks, everybody.
Adios.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Bad Boss Brief podcast with your hosts, Eugene S. Robinson and Stephanie Payrollo. You can check out more of their work by visiting consigliera.substack.com for Stephanie and eugenesrobinson.substack.com for Eugene. You can also find Eugene at Mr. Sleep 3, that's number 3, on Instagram. Reach out with your questions, concerns, workcase situations, or suggestions to us at WTF@badbossbrief.com. We personally answer every submission. Be sure to join us at badbossbrief.substack.com every other Wednesday for episodes of Bad Boss Brief for our Sub Rosa shorts. Until next time, don't be an asshole at work.